Hello and warm welcome to The Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. You probably see a slight smile on the face of Steve Palmer at the moment, if you're listening on audio. He is smiling. We will be reviewing two tournaments from last week. Steve Palmer had a big winner. We will get onto that shortly. It was the Mexico Open. It was the Kenya Open. Three tournaments to preview this week. We've got the old Honda Classic, the SDC Championship, and LIV Golf returns in Jeddah. Steve, a busy week last week, but three words that I'm sure will make every listener happy. Darius Van Driel. Kenya Open, a great success.
Yeah, we've got a new hero, haven't we, Darius? Darius the Great, as I'm calling him. Yeah, such a rock-solid performance, wasn't it, from one of the straightest drivers on the circuit. Four rounds in the 60s, nothing worse than a bogey all week, which is a real achievement around that track. He was bogey-free on the front nine, didn't drop a shot on the front nine all week, churning out fairways and greens. Yeah, if they made a DVD of DVD's Kenya Open triumph, I would definitely purchase a copy of that. Maybe they should think about that.
That's always the key around these types of tracks, isn't it, Steve? Keeping double bogeys off the card, because you had a great week with all of the selections. Ferguson was in with a shout all week. Connor Syme was going really well. But there were just moments from those guys, you know, slight. I remember that par three, Connor Syme sort of dunking it in the water and just little sketchy moments. Van Driel, the first wire-to-wire winner on the DP World Tour this season. Maiden victory, 34 years old. I mean, you would have thought he was a seasoned winner the way that he got it done. It was really impressive.
Oh, it was so neat and tidy, wasn't it? Yeah, 66, 69, 68, 67. And as you say, one for his backers in the first round leader market. We had both first round leaders last week. We had the Erik van Rooyen in Mexico as well. I noticed in the comment section last week, there was a lot of people had Patrick Cantlay first round leader as an extra bet. So yeah, first round leaders coming out of our ears. But I don't play those markers. I was just delighted that he hung on as he did. But yeah, he's a 34-year-old Dutchman. And consider Van Driel whenever there's a premium on accuracy, because he was finding fairways for fun last week. And yeah, I love the boy. Do you want to know his full name? Darius Arjen Joel Van Driel. He's got an enormous name. yeah, he's a little lad with an enormous name.
Yeah, you must be delighted though, Steve, because I think was it all five selections within the top 15? I think most people would have probably gone 8 or 10 places, so they would have picked up each way money on plenty of those. This Kenya Open, we were bigging it up, and everyone was kind of saying in the comments, like, well done to you two for making kind of a low-grade event sound exciting. But it was for a genuine place for me. I love this event. It's great.
Yeah, you're right. We all players finished in the top 11, actually. We had
top 11,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I didn't give up on any of them until very late. I mean, Jesper Svensson and Santiago Tarrio were tied for 11th place. Ferguson and Syme, it was so amusing the way the best friends, the two Scots, finished tied for 7th place. Yeah, right next to each other on the leaderboard. So yeah, really satisfying week. And even if betting didn't exist, we would have enjoyed Joe Dean's performance, wouldn't we? Because he's got a wonderful backstory, which you're now going to guide viewers through.
Well, I was slightly frustrated, Steve. I was listening to probably the most popular of the BBC radio stations in the car the other day, and on came the news, and they were talking about the magical Kenya Open. I thought it was often they cover golf, particularly one of these events, and they made the mistake of saying that Mr. Joe Dean had won the event. And I thought, well, they clearly weren't following us in on Darius Van Driel. But yeah, Joe Dean, he was delivering for Morrison's, wasn't he, last week? Couldn't afford to kind of keep up the travel and everything on the DP World Tour. Tied for second, picks up 170 grand price check this week. I mean, that will change the fortunes of his career. And for so many of these up-and-coming aspiring golfers, that's what it takes sometimes.
Yeah. He won his card from the European Q School. Couldn't afford to get to the Qatar Masters. But then he got to Kenya, and he's gone up from world number 2,930 to world number 671 now, with that share of second place in Kenya. So I was delighted for the Morrison's grocery deliverer. Hopefully he can knock that on the head now with that 170 grand check and concentrate on his golf. But yeah, if he'd hold that eagle putt at the last and and got in a playoff with Van Drill, because at one stage I was thinking if Dean gets that eagle, Van Drill will need a birdie at the last. But fortunately, Joe Dean had the decency to miss the eagle putt. And yeah, but it's amazing. You've got really rich people in the golfing game, and then you've got, you know, you've got, you know, people who work for Morrisons, you know, on leaderboards as well. Yeah, I was delighted for Joe Dean. Hopefully go from strength to strength.
I think you forget, don't you, Steve? It's so costly if you're playing on the tour, travel and accommodation. Yeah. I know the elite players have got sponsors and everything that pays for this stuff. But, I mean, Van Driel as well, he only came through Q School, didn't he? He'd lost his card for this season. And yeah. I loved his interview with Ian and Steven after the event. And I love seeing tears from sports people. I want to see emotion. Yeah. And we got that from Van Driel. And you forget he's 34 years old as well.
Yeah. I like seeing tears as well. Yeah, he's won twice on the Challenge Tour. That was his first DP World Tour success. Fourth at Q School to revive his career. And then he had that amazing start, didn't he, in South Africa, which sort of caught our eye, played well in the Joburg Open, played well in the Alfred Dunhill. So, let's hope that, yeah, Darris van Driel will have a place in our heart forevermore. It's such a strange thing. And there's two Englishmen here, and there's this little Dutchman will be forever treasured. If he died tomorrow, I'd go to his funeral. that's how much respect I have for Darris van Driel.
We were all bigging up Scotland, and they did us in the rugby, but it was the Dutchman that got us through in the Kenya Open. Well done to everyone that followed Steve Palmer in a 60-1 winner for the sweet spot. It was the Mexico Open, the other tournament, Steve. It was won by Jake Knapp. It was only his ninth start on the PGA Tour. A gutsy performance in that final round. We were on, obviously, Erik van Rooyen, who was first round leader, looked really smart. But Jake Knapp, I mean, this guy can play golf. It's a real powerhouse, but smooth swinging powerhouse, isn't it?
Yeah, and he was on my radar. He's on a lot of people's radar for what he did at Torrey Pines. I mean,
what
he finished third.
What price was he for the Mexico Open?
40-1. 40-1, okay. Which I think was the reason it put, you know, the bookies cottoned on to him very quickly. Mm. I'm not sure you could say 40-1 was great value. Despite the result, but at Torrey Pines, he finished third in the Farmers Insurance Open. So, yeah, a barnstorming start to his PGA Tour career. And his ball striking over the first three rounds last week, absolutely sensational. A bit of a wobble on Sunday, didn't he? I mean, he found two fairways on Sunday, but he had such a buffer from the first 3 days, it didn't matter. But, yeah, I like the cut of his jib. I like Jake Knapp. Wasn't bowled over by his girlfriend. I think she was a bit too much of an attention seeker for my liking. She was really reveling in the moment, wouldn't he? Get the cameras on me. But yeah, I think Jake Knapp, yeah, quality ball striker. But he's no spring chicken, Jack. He's 29 years old.
He was a bouncer, wasn't he?
Much
like our friend Mr. Dean, he was delivering for Morrisons. I mean, this lad was bouncing in nightclubs not so long ago.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, he's a former nightclub bouncer, and he's 29 years of age. He played on the Canadian tour for a bit, then Corn Ferry. So, I don't know where it's going to go from here for Jake Knapp, because why is it taking him so long to produce that? I certainly like the cut of his jib.
I just thought it was so impressive, Steve, that as you mentioned there, he hit two fairways all day on the Sunday. There was one, wasn't there? I think, was it on the fifth or something? Real snap hook driver into sort of nowhere. And I think at that moment, he was only a few ahead of Valimaki. You know, we've seen so many people have complete head losses at that point. So for him to just stay level-headed, grind out a victory, I thought it was really, really good.
Well, he's fortunate he had no member of the elite breathing down his neck. You know, Sammy Valimaki, extremely nervous as well. It was the battle of the mullets, wasn't it? They both, what were the odds at the start of the week that the final two ball would both have a mullet? I mean, yeah, probably, biggest
is there a price market for that, probably?
It's like a billion to one, isn't it? Valimaki can be really proud with a runner-up check. I mean, I want to make the point that the DP World Tour, because, you know, we try and support the DP World Tour, don't we? And it gets sort of mocked and rubbished by, certainly by the Americans. The DP World Tour guys who have won those cards from the Race to Dubai Stands, they could be so proud of how it started, didn't they? You know, Matt Pavon won the Farmers Insurance Open. You know, incredible scenes there. Valimaki nearly wins in Mexico. Raul Hisasuna and Alexander Bjork were on the American Express leaderboard, if you remember rightly. So, maybe this golfing class, we've been guilty of it as well. We sort of belittle the DP World Tour as a bunch of, nobodies. Maybe the gulf between the PGA Tour and the Deepwater Tour is not as big as we thought, because you know, you've got your Pavons and your Valimakis have just swaggered over to America and are contending for titles.
Yeah. How, from a betting perspective, Steve, how do you look back on the Mexico? Because for, you know, for the entire week, really, we were within with a shout. And
yeah,
a little disappointed with Van Rooyen on the Sunday. I expected him to maybe just go low and at least apply some form of pressure.
Yeah, and at least cement the full place. I mean, he tied for eighth place with four other players. I mean, you could get 10 places with a couple of firms last week. So three fifths of your stake at the full place odds. It was squeezed a little bit back there. But yeah, it was disappointing because we got off such a hot start. I mean, Cameron Champ was absolutely flying in round one. And then, you know, then Erik van Raan later in the day. Yeah, I was disappointed with how Mexico turned out. But yeah, you can't have it all, can you?
No, absolutely not. It was a brilliant week. All in all, Kenya definitely delivered. And again, it's been a difficult start for punters on the PGA Tour with another winner that probably not many people had. Jake Knapp, the winner of the Mexico Open. Let's get on to this week's tournaments. We've got three to preview. It's a busy week. We shall start on the DP World Tour, Steve, our favourite tour of the lot.
Yes, chronological order, please, Jake.
It's the SDC Championship at St. Francis Links. This one's only been staged once before, so a fairly new track for most recreational punters, but not for Steve Palmer. Talk us through where we're playing, Steve.
Yes, the St. Francis Links on the Eastern Cape, South Africa. 7,192 yards, par 72, four par fives. A Jack Nicklaus design. It staged the Vodacombe. Vodacombe, that's a new one. Yeah, Vodacom. My phone company is Vodacom. It staged the Vodacom Origins of Golf event on the Sunshine Tour in 2007, 2008, and from 2013 through 2018. So we've actually got loads of course form to go at. And 2022. Then it also hosted the South African PGA Championship in 2021, 2022, and 2023. As you say, the inaugural SDC Championship on the DP World Tour was last year. So loads of Sunshine Tour form, just 1 year of DP World Tour form. This is a modern links. It should get battered by strong winds again. We had an extremely windy week last time and plenty of wind in the forecast this time. So I think control in a breeze is the key to success. 156 going to post.
Okay, let's run through the top of the market. Ewan Ferguson, Steve Palmer was keen on him last week. Can he go well again this week? He is your roundabout 14-1 favourite. Xander Lombard, 16s alongside Thriston the Piston Lawrence. Tom McKibben, 18-1. Rikuya Hoshino, 22-1. Keita Nakajima, 25s. Bigger the rest. Steve Palmer, how many picks for the SDC Championship?
Five
selections. Take us through your headline pick.
It's Tom McKibben. Little bit of 18-1 left. Are we back for the Qatar Masters? His last outing, he finished fourth in that. A rock solid performance. Didn't hold much. That comment could apply to his entire 2024 campaign thus far. Been swinging really well, hitting it great. Form figures of 25, 14, 16, 4. Easing his way into the season nicely. He's an odds-on shot for me to get one of those 10 PGA Tour cards that we've already talked about through the Race to Dubai standings. That's his primary goal for this season. He's mentioned it, and I think he's going to get it. That tee to green solidity counts for so much at a windswept St. Francis Links this week. He's obviously comfortable playing in a breeze. He's grown up playing some of the best links courses in the world. He's quickly built a solid record in South Africa as a professional, and his St. Francis Links debut last year was really encouraging. He wasn't in good form coming in. He opened with a 76, looked like a missed cut. Then he carded rounds of 65, 72, 69 to finish 18th. 3 months later, he won his maiden DP World Tour title in the European Open. I think a second DP World Tour title is coming on Sunday afternoon.
This is a tricky track, isn't it? I remember last year's, it was Matthew Baldwin, wasn't it? Won by something like 7 shots. And I think he was the only player that week to break par in every round. And he's obviously grown up with wind. So, yeah Tom McKibben, you've been a big fan of his for a while. Do you think he's going to be sort of a multiple winner on tour here?
This is a 21-year-old we're talking about here. It feels like he's been around for ages already, isn't it? Yeah, Rory McIlroy says he's going to be you know, major class. Podrick Harrington is very impressed, and you know he never minces his words. I think Tom McKibben is going to be on the PGA Tour next season. I think this might be the last year we get him on the DP World Tour, and he'd probably win two or three times.
I'll make the most of him then. If Rory thinks he's good, then so do we. Tom McKibben, the main pick for the SDC Championship. Who's next?
Ewan Ferguson, keeping the faith, 16 to 1 available. Four solid rounds in Kenya last week. He had a cold putter in round one, cold putter in round four, but swinging beautifully all week. Accurate off the tee. That control is worth its weight in gold again this week. His record in Africa is excellent. His St. Francis Links debut last year was absolutely superb because he arrived in dismal form like McKibben. Ferguson had played six events prior to this event last year. He had only one top 40 finish. He had zero top 20s, but he teed up at St. Francis, fell in love with the course. Rounds of 72, 70, 68, 68, finished third. This time, tees up with great confidence. He was ninth in the Qatar Masters, seventh in the Kenya Open. I think form figures will progress. So we have to stick with Ferguson.
The thing I loved about Ferguson last week, Steve, I mean, as you say, the putter was cold in a couple of the rounds, but the putt he held on 18 of round four to finish 10 under, there was a big fist pump there. And I thought, yeah. I like that. You want to be on players that care. And this man clearly does.
I like that fist pump. I mean, was that the Me fist too. Pump of a man who knew a lot of his mates were on each way? I mean, it was a crucial putt, wasn't it, for his each way followers? I don't know. But yeah, I like his passion. I liked his course management last week. He seemed to be making the right club selections off the tee. Yeah, nothing wound me up about being on Ferguson last week, apart from on the greens. We just, you know, we shaved a lot of holes. Yeah, I think, you know, his tee to green class, it'll count for plenty this week. We want that wind to get up. We want it to be windy all week. And McKibben and Ferguson's tee to green class will show.
The only thing that does put me slightly on edge with Ferguson, Steve, is that he always seems to be wearing sunglasses. And I like to be able to look at the man in the eye to see exactly what's going on. And it's always a bit unsuspecting when you see a man who's constantly got sunglasses on. I mean, probably great for eye health, but not great for trying to read the room.
I guess they might be tinted with light-enhancing lenses as well. You never know what's going on, do you? I mean, yeah, we've mentioned before that Ferguson has got issues with his eyes because he wrestles with contact lenses and various things. So, just give the man a break. I mean, he's got to do what he's got to do. I always think he looks really cool. I think he looks one of the cooler guys on the tour. He's got good hairstyle.
Well, as a man with poor vision myself, Steve, I'm allowed to take the mick out of other people's eyes.
Poor vision and a good hairstyle. Yeah, you're virtually brothers.
Ewan Ferguson and Tom McKibben, the first two for the SDC. Who's next?
Jaden Shaper is back on the scene.
Jaden Shaper.
We can't let Jaden Shaper go unbacked in his homeland at 35 to 1. He's the only South African who appeals to me this week. He's got that tee to green control that I'm looking for. His home course is the Abbotsie Links. So he tackles another South African Links this week. He's played well there on the Sunshine Tour. He was fifth on his St. Francis Links debut in the 2021 South African PGA Championship. He was sixth in the 2022 Vodacom Origins of Golf event there. And he was 10th in the 2022 South African PGA. So he loves this event on the Sunshine Tour. And he was a leaderboard regular in DP World Tour events in Africa just before Christmas, you might remember. Ninth in the Joburg Open, fifth in the SA Open, seventh in the Alfred Dunhill, sixth in Mauritius. He hasn't found top gear yet in 2024, but I think going to a track he knows really well this week we'll see the real Jaden Trace Shaper again.
Where's he been last few weeks? Because as you say, at Christmas, he was like a cockroach, just wouldn't leave the leaderboards, would he? But I haven't seen him recently. Is he okay? Is he well?
He's okay. Yeah, yeah. He hasn't been playing badly. He just hasn't been contending like he did in his homeland. But I think a return to South Africa doing the world of good.
Okay. Jaden Trace Shaper, third pick for the SDC. Who's up next?
The aforementioned Matthew Baldwin, who is 66 to 1. And, you know, you've got to ask why, haven't you? He's the defending champion. Seven-shot victory. Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked. Seven-shot victory last year, dominated this event. I can't identify a good reason to let him go unbacked at 66 to 1. This is almost identical test. Loads of wind again in the forecast. He's a master in the wind, as you alluded to. Yeah, Royal Birkdale boy. I think he's been underrated this week because he's playing better than the form book suggests he is. He's got three missed cuts on his 2024 record, but they're all just by one shot. One of them was a Rolex Series event, the Dubai Desert Classic. The last of them was in Qatar when he carded a second round 68. He was 23rd in the Bahrain Championship two starts back. So I think Baldwin's actually in decent nick. And he'd be worth following for this event, even if he wasn't in decent nick. Because last year, he had form figures of miscut 30-60 before he came into this event. And then led the field a merry dance on his St. Francis Links course debut. So, yeah, I could easily see history repeating itself.
Yeah, big price for a previous winner here. Matthew Baldwin. One final pick here, Steve. Who is it?
It's David Ravetto. Just one Ravetto. Give him to me. A cheeky Frenchman is on the tee. David Ravetto is a 26-year-old with plenty of talent. The week before last, Jack, he won on the Challenge Tour in South Africa, the Dimension Data Pro-Am, one of my favourites. It's a tournament that's been around since the old King died, but it's harder to win these days than the Dimension Data. It's a three-course event now, Jack. Tests all aspects of your game. One of those courses is the Fancourt Links. And yeah, he's going to another South African Links this week. And a lot of Ravetto's best performances, Jack, have been in South Africa. He was ninth in the 2022 Alfred Dunhill, seventh in the 2022 Johnson Workwear Open, 17th in the 2023 South African Open just before Christmas. And last year on his St. Francis Links debut, he finished 18th. You might think solid, but I'm not going to get too carried away. Let me tell you, Ravetto had missed his three previous cuts before coming to that SDC Championship. He played in the Kenya Open the week before, and he missed the Kenya Open Cup by seven shots. So you don't give him any chance when he turns up for his St. Francis Links debut. And he opens with a 67 and he finishes 18th. So this time, full of beans. Yeah, we'll be eating Cornettos on Sunday and celebrating Ravetto's win.
That was a journey. I mean, you've taken me to courses there I've never heard of in tournaments I've rarely heard of. What price was he?
He's 90 to 1.
90 to 1.
You like Cornettos, don't you?
I love Cornettos. I tell you what, though, talking about Cornettos, I was thinking about sending an email to Cornetto because I had some the other night. And you know how the end of the chocolate cone should be within the cone?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was sort of on the outside. So I ended up eating it, not realizing it all gone down my white shirt.
I think it was a bit of a
manufacturing error.
There's nothing worse than getting chocolate down a... Did you say it was a white shirt? Did you?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it just makes you look like a child, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes you look like you've had some sort of serious mishap, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I did. Yeah. A Cornetto-related mishap, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I like a Cornetto. And yeah, if David Ravetto wins, I'm going to buy myself a lifetime supply of Cornettos.
I think the only other thing worth noting here, Steve, I don't think this tournament's televised, is it? I'm not sure.
Oh, it's absolutely hard. But, yeah,
what, why is that?
You shouldn't have said that because you're going to have an angry man on for the rest of the podcast now.
Sorry, yeah.
Because
why is that?
Well, bloody good question, of which I have no answer. Go and ask Rupert Murdoch. Get him on the bloody line. I mean, I pay so much money to Sky. Every time I see how much money Sky takes, it seems to go up every 5 minutes. Mm. They just decide to put the price up. And why would you? There's some great players playing in this. This is a good DP World Tour event. I want to see Tom McKibben. Tom McKibben would be winning the Open Championship one day. And people say, oh, did you watch him when he won that SDC Championship? No, I didn't. I didn't because I couldn't. So, yeah, it's not on the telly, guys. And you're not going to see a future Open Champion win it for reasons unknown. But just because it's expensive, I guess, to get your camera crews down there and... It's not like they're banning cameramen from entering the St. Francis Links. It's just cost cutting.
Well, let's take a positive mind to here, Steve. We shall relax. We shall put our feet up. We should read a nice book, eating a Cornetto, and just assume that one of our players wins.
We will not be doing any of that. We'll be following every shot on our devices, and then there'll be an error. When one says it's on the green and then suddenly it will turn into the water and then you'll be throwing the phone against the wall. And then, yeah, if your phone breaks, if you throw your phone against the wall and it breaks, then you might need a book. But
my favourite is you see these trackers, don't you? And you go, you know, 158 yards to 2 feet, 2 inches. And then the next putt is miss. And you go, well, how on earth is... I want to see how they've missed. You know, yeah. I want to know the context behind this mess. Rupert Murdoch, if you are watching, let us know why this one isn't televised. We shall head over to the PGA Tour for the Cognizant Classic. This was the Honda Classic. I must admit, Steve, I saw this. I went, I don't recognize that name. What's this all about? Yeah, it's the Honda Classic. It's at PGA National. Talk us through the event.
Yeah, they've changed the name of the course slightly as well. They're calling it the Champions Course PGA National Resort, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. 7,125 yards, par 70, only two par fives. A Jack Nicklaus redesign. So the Golden Bear has really got its paws all over this golfing week. One of the toughest layouts on the PGA Tour. It's been Honda Classic venue since 2007. Heavy bunkering, plenty of water hazards. Only accurate ball striking will produce results. We've got light to moderate breezes this week. It peaks on Friday afternoon. Keep a check on the weather forecast. There's potential draw bias issues. A field of 144 is going to post.
Never liked those words, draw bias. Let me run you through the top of the market. Rory McIlroy, your 15-2 favourite. Cameron Young, 20-1. Russell Henley, 25-1. Matt Fitzpatrick, 28-1. Last year's playoff, I was about to say winner, he lost the playoff. And Eric Cole, 28. JT Poston, 30. Bigger the rest. Steve, how many picks here?
Three.
Three selections. Who's the main?
Eric Cole, 28-1 is best now. The PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, who almost won this tournament 12 months ago, as you alluded to there. Lost a playoff to Chris Kirk. That was Cole's Honda Classic debut. He had to Monday qualify for that event. He was 330th in the world rankings at the time. He returns this week as world number 36 and a PGA Tour champion in waiting. His last 13 PGA Tour starts, Cole has posted four top fives, eight top 15s. He's knocking so loudly at the gate of the PGA Tour winner's enclosure that Jay Monahan is apparently considering taking legal action against him for noise pollution. There has been a breach. There has been a breach of the peace over the last 5 months from Eric Cole. Sorry, I know that's a stupid one. There's been a breach of the peace over the last 5 months from Eric Cole because he's been threatening this PGA Tour break. It's not happened yet, but I think he's going to get through the gate of the winner's enclosure on Sunday. His form at Riviera so strong for me. That was a course debut last time out. Massive experience disadvantage at a long-established venue. An elevated, designated signature event. He opens with an understandable 73, not knowing that track. Then, boom, 69, 65, 69, a share of 10th place. He had two top 15s in Hawaii to start the year. Three top 25s on the West Coast swing. Now he heads home to his beloved Florida. He lives in Palm Beach County. He knows the Palm Beach Gardens like the back of his hand. He's won a million minor tour events in Florida. Now his maiden PGA Tour title comes in the Sunshine State on Sunday.
I was absolutely convinced, and he may well have been, you were going to say he was a former world number one amateur.
No, sir, I can't. Was he provide,
not? So how does that work then? He's won all of these minor tour and he wasn't. And then we've got some nobody that you chatted about last week who was. How does this ranking system work?
You are getting angry now as well, aren't you? I mean, he was a professional when he was winning these minor league events. Yeah. I mean, he's 35 years of age, Jay. Yeah, he's a late bloomer. He had a lot of health issues early on. He had all sorts of family dramas. I think his parents got divorced. His parents got divorced and then got back together again, I think. I think that's the case, yeah. So he's been through all sorts of things. But in his mid-30s, he's absolutely flourishing. I mean, I like the way Eric Cole's doing it, because in the olden days, and I always look back wistfully at the olden days, because I think everything was better in the olden days.
When was the olden days? At what point was it old?
Well, the olden days, I suppose, was when I was a teenager. And Eric Cole is 35 years of age. And in the olden days, that was when you traditionally peaked as a golfer in your mid-30s. Yeah, if you had a chat in the olden days and people say, oh, when does a professional peak? They'd say 35. These days, in these horrible times we're in now, where the world is just sort of obscene in many ways, a golfer peaks when they're about 19. And I struggle to get my head around that.
Okay, well, we now know all about Eric Cole's family history. So that was a route I wasn't expecting to go down. Eric Cole, the main pick.
He must have been delighted, wouldn't he? Imagine your parents divorcing and then getting back together again, realising they can't live without each other. Yeah, I hope that's true and I haven't completely made that up. I'm sure I've read that somewhere.
Well, where do you read that? Hello magazine or something?
I don't know. The Florida Tribune or something.
Eric Cole, main pick here. Two more to go. Who's next?
Sepp Straka, 45-1, who won this tournament in 2022, his maiden PGA Tour title. He won a second PGA Tour title in the John Deere Classic last summer. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018. He provided a stout Honda Classic title defence last year. Four solid rounds for fifth place. He's since gone on to become a Ryder Cup winner. He's since gone on to become a father. Straka's self-belief has never been higher. He's the world number 25, for Pete's sake. He's capable of winning. He's capable of winning anything, I'd say. Because look at his performance in the majors last year, Jay. He finished seventh in the USPGA. You've probably forgotten about that one. He finished... I don't want to besmirch you. He finished seventh.
No. I must admit, I hadn't remembered that Sepp Straka finished seventh.
Very easy to forget that. Yeah. And then he finished tied second in the Open Championship. So he's contending. Do remember that because you were watching him. I mean, this is a fella that's contending for major championships. He's at the age of 30 and seems to be at the peak of his power. He's the sixth best scorer in the Tour Championship at the end of last year. Then he was runner-up to Scottie Scheffler in the Hero World Challenge. Straka is a big-time player now. I'm not going to let a quiet start to 2024 put me off, because since Straka missed the cut in the Genesis Invitational last time out by a shot, okay? I'm not going to get hung up by that. He had a weekend off with baby Leo instead. He's got a newborn baby Leo. The weekend at home probably did him good. He was 12th in the century. He was 26th at Pebble Beach. I think he's going to get going soon. I think Straka's in for a big year, and it starts this week.
I love that you put, in terms of things to improve his self-belief, the Ryder Cup victory and becoming a father in the same bracket. Does becoming a father improve self-belief? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, it is a thing. Yeah. Well, it just gives you more purpose in life, and it, you know, makes you feel like you've achieved something. I was very down on myself before I became a father. I still get very down on myself sometimes, but I sort of rate myself a bit higher now, because at least even my sham of a life doesn't really matter, because I've created two wonderful creatures that are going to go on, live much better lives than I have.
Oh, that's lovely, Steve.
Really,
really good. Two picks down, one to go. Who have we got?
It's Adam Svensson. 50-1, Adam Svensson, who went to university in Florida and lives in Palm Beach Gardens, knows every inch of the Champions Course. That comfort showed in the 2015 Korn Ferry Tour qualifying school at this track. Svensson won that event by 7 shots, kickstarted his professional career. Then he won 3 times on the Korn Ferry Tour. Svensson topped the tee to green stats in the 2022 Honda Classic, showing further love for this course. Finished 9th in that tournament. Then he made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the RSM Classic later that year. This season, slowly but surely getting his act together, as Al would describe it. 10th place in the Genesis Invitational last time out. That suggests to me that Svensson's found his A game at the perfect time for an ideal assignment. I don't think you can go into battle without him this week.
Okay, convincing argument. Just quickly, Steve, towards the top of the market, when you've got Rory McIlroy, there will always be backers. He's around about, 15-2, 7-1 at the moment. What's putting you off Rory?
I didn't like the way he started his week. I mean, I know it's for charity and we've got to be all for it, but the match, did you watch the match last night?
No, I didn't.
The match number 9.
What was I watching last night? I was watching a Married at First Sight reunion.
Did you ever
watch that?
Oh, blimey.
Well, I went to play snooker and got home and it was just on the telly, and I enjoyed Married at First Sight when it was on. Yeah, so I stuck that off.
That's a disgusting sort of idea, isn't it? That you marry someone as soon as you meet him. How does it work again?
Well, I think there were 10 couples and only one of them are still married.
Oh, I see.
Clearly not a successful method. And the one that's still married, I would be a backer of a divorce within the next 12 months, I think.
Really, really good. Yeah. There's some filth on the telly these days, isn't there?
Great fun,
but the match 9 took place while you were watching that. And that was a skins event between Rory McIlroy, Max Homer, Lexi Thompson, and Rose Zhang. Rose Zhang. I don't know why I named her after wine there. I don't know whether she likes wine. But McIlroy won that event. But yeah, messing around under floodlights, made for TV event, microphones, it would have taken a bit out of him. I don't think that's a very clever way to start your Honda Classic campaign. We haven't seen him in this event since 2018. He finished 59th. Obvious chance, but the odds, I can live without him. McIlroy at the odds.
Okay, there's the picks for the, what was that? The Cognizant Classic. So many different names this week. We shall move over to LIV Golf Jeddah, this one at Royal Greens. Brooks Koepka's won both of these previous events. Steve, talk us through the course.
Yes, Royal Greens Golf and Country Club in King Abdullah's economic city, Saudi Arabia. 7,048 yards, par 70, only two par fives. It hosted the Saudi International for the first time in 2019. It was a DP World Tour event for 3 years. Then it became an Asian Tour event for 2022 and 2023. The inaugural LIV Golf Jeddah took place in 2022. There was one last year. So this is the third edition of LIV Golf Jeddah. It's the first LIV event that's been played at the same venue three times. Sunny and hot weather forecast. Gentle breezes for the first 2 days. Moderate breezes on Sunday. 54 players going to post no cut, 54 holes of stroke play. Starts at 8:15 a.m. on Friday morning for UK and Ireland viewers. And it's live on DAZN, as they like to call it. D-A-Z-N is the TV channel that we've been forgetting to mention. DAZN.
Have you got a member subscription to that? Is that another subscription you have to pay for? No.
I think it's £10 a month or something, but I like watching it on the phone. So, I haven't got a problem with that. I've got the LIV Golf Plus app and I can watch it on the phone. So I haven't got DAZN. But if you prefer watching on the telly, get DAZN.
You're quite down with the kids when it comes to sort of multi-screening things, aren't you, Steve? You've always got iPads here and phones there with stuff on.
I'm getting better at it. That SkyGo app, I use that a lot. At the weekend, I was away in Brighton at the weekend and my sister-in-law was running in the Brighton Half Marathon.
Oh, yeah. In
memory of her dad. And so I had to sort of mix family commitments with SkyGo, and I had a lot of the Kenyan Open on, so I was following Darius van Driel while also following marathons and various things. I like watching on my phone, and I don't see the negatives really.
Well, SkyGo is about 7 days behind us. You probably found out that van Driel won on Monday, I reckon.
apart from that, but exciting week ahead.
Go. Through the top of the market, as usual, John Rahm, the favourite for a LIV Golf event. He's 5-1. DJ 10s, Joachim Niemann 11-1, alongside two-time former winner here, Brooks Koepka. Taylor Gooch 12, Tyrrell Hatton 14s. Bigger the rest. John Rahm, short price once again, Steve. Are we going for him? How many picks?
Two picks. We've got a 5-3-2 formation this week. It's an actual formation. Let's hope our wing-backs push on.
Two selections. Who's the main here?
It's Brooks Koepka. 11-1 is best out there, I believe, who's gunning for a LIV Golf Jeddah hat trick. I think that guarantees a steely focus from Koepka. We know what happens when Koepka gets in the zone. Typically saves his best performances for the majors, but I suspect he'll be fully switched on for this one. You know, Jeddah is LIV Golf headquarters, of course. He'd be keen to maintain his streak of success at the LIV Golf HQ. The Masters is creeping close. It's a good time for Koepka to up his game. He'd be very focused on winning the Masters after what happened last year. He says he loves this LIV Jeddah course. He said in a recent interview that the most nervous he's ever been on a golf course was during the closing stages of LIV Golf Jeddah 2022. I kind of get it, because he'd been through a really rough patch. Self-doubt had crept in. If you watch that Full Swing episode on Netflix that he did, you know, he's basically really down about his ability to beat the best players in the world again, wasn't he? And that 2022 win in Jeddah was the moment where Koepka sort of returned. You know, he got his confidence back. Then he nearly won the Masters. Then he won the USPGA. So it was a real turning point in the career of Koepka. But he felt like a winner again. His whole life, he's been obsessed with being a winner. And, so Jeddah's got a special place in the heart of Koepka. And He started this LIV campaign in respectable fashion. He was fifth at Mayakoba on a course that doesn't suit him, 12th in Las Vegas last time out. So I see a fourth LIV victory this week for a five-time major champion.
Oh, blimey, yeah, Brooks, I mean, phenomenal form here. Brooks Koepka, main pick for LIV Golf Jeddah. One more, who is it?
It's Dustin Johnson at 10-1. We're having a two-pronged LIV attack. We're backing the new king of Jeddah, which is Brooks Koepka, and we're also backing the old king of Jeddah, which is Dustin Johnson. Extremely difficult to pick between the two, but, you know, with the doubts surrounding the favourite this week, we'll come on to him. I think there's every justification to support both Koepka and Johnson. My biggest bets of the week will be on these two players. Johnson's had a long love affair with Royal Greens. He won the inaugural Saudi International with a 19 under par total in 2019. He was runner up on his title defence. Then he won a second Saudi International in 2021, despite putting poorly throughout. He found the layout an absolute doddle from tee to green. He was a total of 44 under par for the three DP World Tour events at this course. He was eighth in the 2022 Saudi International, fifth in the 2022 LIV Jeddah, could not play the 2023 Saudi International due to injury. Then he was sixth in last year's LIV Jeddah. So Johnson's full Royal Greens form figures are 1, 2, 1, 8, 5, 6. Bloody good, isn't it?
Speechlessly good, yeah.
I didn't know whether your internet connection had gone on. I just made you speechless.
No, that is very impressive, yeah.
Yeah, you could still say he is the king of, yeah, it's hard to say who is the king of Jeddah, but if you back both, then you've definitely backed a king. Johnson was fifth in LIV Mayakoba at the start of the season. Then he won LIV Las Vegas, obviously breaking the heart of Taylor Gooch backers. So it's impossible to ignore this week. I mean, how do you ignore Dustin Johnson this week?
Again, a mightily impressive course player, isn't he? You mentioned doubts around John Rahm. Now, we've spoken a lot about the doubts around John Rahm in the last few weeks since he joined LIV. What have we got, fresh doubts, or are they just existing doubts?
Well, he's 5-1 favourite. You're getting double figures about my two. Yeah, which John Rahm is a course debutant, a course that is well known to many of his rivals. That's a significant disadvantage this week in terms of course experience. There have been seven tournaments at Royal Greens, three on the DP World Tour, two on the Asian Tour, two on LIV, and Rahm's played in none of them. And he hasn't settled well on the LIV circuit. I think he's a really short prize for Jeddah. I'd love someone to come up to me and argue that Rahm at 5-1 is better value than Koepka at 11-1. I'd love to have that argument with somebody.
Well, where will you be drinking later on this week? And we can put out people can travel to your local and have it out over John Rahm's price.
I'm not a confrontational man, actually. I wouldn't enjoy it. I don't enjoy arguments. That's why I surrender to the wife on a daily basis.
there is a new name on LIV Golf as well, Steve, that we have to mention. He's 150-1 this week. Anthony Kim, the return of Kim. That sort of came out of nowhere.
I didn't know whether you were too young to remember who he was. I mean, yeah, 12. Young. We haven't seen him for 12 years, have we? I mean, he was a dazzling character. Yeah, one of the most exciting players that in PGA Tour history. Which is why the LIV bigwigs have paid him, you know, reportedly $20 million to make this comeback. It is exciting. We're all curious to see what Anthony Kim's got in his locker. Mm. Yeah, he retired reportedly because of the insurance, an insurance deal that meant that if he did return to golf after that injury, then he would lose all the money he got from the insurance. But obviously the landscape's changed. I think that was about $20 million involved in that. So basically the LIV guys have come in and said, yeah, we'll pay for all of your insurance issues if you come and make this dramatic comeback. It's going to be fascinating to see what Anthony Kim's got to offer. He's going to be loaded with competitive rust. I have a real fear that he's going to be a massive flop. But I'll certainly be tuning in to see.
Yeah, absolutely. There we go. There's the two selections for LIV Golf. Just talk us through a day in the life, Steve, of you when you pick up a big price winner. Because it was last Sunday. I was sort of wandering around. I'd seen that Van Driel had won, which was absolutely delighted about. What's going through your head when you've got one in contention, they get over the line?
It varies depending on what's going on in my family life. Because, I didn't really get a chance to celebrate that winner. on Sunday because, as I say, I was embroiled in a lot of family stuff, and then had a really difficult, straight after that victory, had a really difficult journey from Brighton back to Weymouth. My mother-in-law was a passenger. Her dog was a passenger. My son was vomiting in the back seat. So I was on a real come down afterwards.
There's a lot going on there. Yeah.
Something disagreed with him. And my daughter has a phobia of sick as well. So you can imagine the scene in that car. Thank goodness Darius Vandril had won that golf tournament, or I would have probably been in tears for the whole journey. But yeah, despite all of those issues, I had a smile on my face. Yeah, I was just driving, stroking the doggy next to me, happy as Larry.
I bet Darius Vandril, of all the great emotions he's brought to people, I bet he didn't think that would be one of them. Calmness in carnage around you, Steve.
Oh, I've got a lot to thank Darius Vandril for. I promise you that. I should write a letter to him, really, shouldn't I?
That would be nice. Yeah, that would be really nice. Okay, let's recap on the tournaments this week. I appreciate there's been a lot going on. The SDC Championship, Steve. Who have you selected?
Tom McKibben, Ewan Ferguson, Jaden Shaper, Matthew Baldwin, David Ravetto.
The Cognizant Classic.
Eric Cole, Sepp Straker, Adam Svensson.
And Liv Golf Jeddah.
Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson.
There we go. Yeah, only two, wasn't there? I was expecting you to reel off a third there. Well, I hope you're going to get some form of sleep this week, Steve, because there's four tournaments next week. I saw that on the run order. I thought, surely not. But you are a busy man over the next couple of weeks, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, triple header this week is tough enough, but yeah, quadruple header really tests us. But yeah, hopefully if we get another winner this week, then we're going to the quadruple header full of beans, and anything could happen from there.
Well, if we land one of the each way trebles this week, but we might not be here next week. We'll see how it goes.
Good point. Well made. Yeah. Tom McKibben, Eric Cole, Brooks Koepka. That's about 4,300 to 1.
That'll do nicely. Thanks, everyone at home, for tuning in once again to this week's spot. We really, really do appreciate all of your lovely comments week in, week out. As we mentioned, we'll be back next week for a bumper episode, four episodes, four competitions within one episode. You can join us again next Tuesday for that. I've been Jack Reeve. That's been Steve Palmer. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.